Good evening. It's great seeing everybody out this evening for question and answers, and we have some good questions. I think we have great questions that we'll both try to answer to our best abilities. But before I just jump into my question, I did want to make a comment, a commendation, two different ones. Our youth group is amazing. I don't know if you have been downstairs and saw the care packages that we've got together. We ended up doing 25 care packages, and we've got 24 on our list. And we got it done about an hour faster than I thought we were going to do it. They moved real quick. I think they wanted to get the putt-putt pretty fast. So, but they're such a great group of kids, and they're doing a lot of work and doing great work. I want to commendate you all as well for donating your time, donating things for the care package. I did not expect near as much stuff. We could barely fit them in the boxes, and that's a great thing. And that shows how strong the Flatwoods Church of Christ is. When we have works to do, and everybody is involved, everybody's jumping in. It warmed my heart, and I'm glad to be here at Flatwoods. And that really kind of shined a light on it. So, without further ado, I did want to start our night off with a question that I think is probably one of the tougher ones that I got, because there's not necessarily an exact answer on it. But the first question I want to look at this evening is, when did the flood occur? And again, it's a tough one to actually pinpoint an exact date. I will give a short answer, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail. The short answer is, we cannot know the exact date, the exact year the flood occurred. We can certainly get it close, and that's what I hope to do this evening. I think we can get it down to maybe a few hundred years in a time frame. And if you actually really look into this question, and you pick up commentaries, I picked up about 5-6 different commentaries trying to figure out what men have put a date. And it's pretty strange, the amount of time. One said 2348 B.C. Another one said 2344 B.C. So that's a four-year difference. I don't know why there's a difference between the two, but I guess 4 years was important. The other one I found was 3155 B.C., about an 800 difference. And like I said, they don't have much rhyme or reason. Many of them don't give a reason, or they may go into some detail or something along those lines. But it's tough to pinpoint it exactly. There's a great article written, which I brought with me. It's The Bible and the Age of the Earth, Part 1, by Bert Thompson, and it's on Apologetic Press. That's going to be probably one of the greatest sources you'll find about pinpointing an exact date for the flood. The trouble with trying to pinpoint the date is because we don't know the beginning year when God created everything. So it's hard to look for a date when the beginning date you're not sure exactly how long the earth's been. And working your way back can be very tedious. So it's very difficult to start on today and work backwards and have an exact line. But that's the great thing about the Bible, is it does a very good job chronologically giving genealogies. So you can somewhat pinpoint it back, give a rough time period. I'd like to just quickly do that with the time that I have. And this is what he brings out in the Apologetic Press paper. So if you want a really in-depth look at it and you want to go further than I do, please look up that article, come find me after. He starts really with Solomon. Says we really know biblically and historically when Solomon lived. Solomon reigned from 971 to 931 B.C. That's backed up with Assyrian history and also biblical history. We have the time frame Solomon was king, and 1 Kings 11, verse 42, tells us he was king for 40 years. So tying that in with what the Assyrians, the time that they give is 971, we have a pretty exact date with Solomon. This is the key, though, if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. He's going to pass on a tidbit of information through this book of history. And it's going to tell us when the Exodus of Egypt happened with correlation to Solomon. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, and the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So it gives us some more information. So from the fourth year of Solomon's reign, if you go back 480 years, that's when the Exodus occurred, which gives you a rough time of 1446 B.C. And so you tie that in. The scriptures give even more detail. So from Moses and the Exodus, if you look back in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, it's going to give you the time when Jacob went to Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. So you get not only from the Exodus, but add 430 years to that is how long that Israel was in slavery to Egypt. And that would be when Jacob comes to Egypt. So that would give a date of 1876 B.C. is about the time Jacob goes to Egypt. Furthermore, and again, I didn't write all these down. I don't want to take up all day just trying to get back that far. But he goes through the genealogies from Jacob to Isaac to Abraham, and he concludes that Abraham lived and was born in 2166 B.C. And from there, the number he gives in his article, which I think is very close, 2519 B.C. And that kind of goes with the other two we mentioned of 2348, 2344. Somewhere around 2500 B.C., we can be fairly certain that the flood occurred. And that's a great thing about the Bible. You can go and do this even further down and look through the genealogies for yourself and count down. The difficulties that you have with it, though, is the overlapping times, right? Noah lived before the flood happened. He was 500 years. The flood happened at 600 years. Noah lived to be 950 years. And so with the math of that, he would have lived similar, almost the same time of Abraham. So it can get very difficult and tedious to find these things. But I think a safe answer is around 2500 B.C. that the flood happened. And I think that's a safe start. And if anyone wants to do further research, please find me. I'll tell you more about that article. The next one I feel a little bit more comfortable with, because I feel bad having an answer that I can't give for certain. That's one of my least favorite things to do. If you turn with me to James chapter 5, you'll look at a passage here that many commentators debate and argue its meaning, and I'm going to give you the best answer I have. The question was, how do you feel about the anointing in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 16? A very good question, something that I think we should study more. We should understand more. You know, the difficult passages in the Bible can be understood if we take our time and actually dive into them and study them further. So if you would turn with me to James chapter 5, and the verse we're really going to spend our time on is verse 14, with the anointing of oil. Now, I want to just use an introduction. Oil in the Old and the New Testament was used for medical reasons. That goes back to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 makes mention of oil being used on sores and medicine-wise. Jeremiah uses it and mentions oil. We have the balm of Gilead. So we see throughout the Bible, oil can be used medically. In fact, if you've studied Greek history, you've read the Iliad, the Odyssey, oil was pretty much the catch-all for anything. And so times have changed, right? I think we don't use oil as a medical, not as much as we once did in history. So I think really understanding that is probably the first step. That oil in the Bible, many times when it's used like this, it's a medical thing. Now, it's of my opinion that this passage is talking about miraculous healing. And I'll give you my reasons as we look at it. But I do want to use one example. If you look at Luke chapter 10, I want you to notice Jesus, as he's talking about the Good Samaritan, is going to mention oil as a medicinal use. Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 33 through 34. Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 34. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So you actually have some passage that mentions oil being used medicinally. And again, so James brings it out. The question that I'm guessing, the way it was worded, is should we be anointing people today? My answer or thought is no. There's no reason for it. Medicinally, we have other things that are better for it. But also, this is a miraculous healing, in my opinion. We don't have miracles today, so the anointing oils wouldn't be needed. It would have no benefit for anybody that's living now. But let's get deeper into it. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 13. I think we got to start first, get the context of the verse. So if 13, 14, 15, and 16, they're together. So you need to read things in context. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And so we get the context. He starts off talking about two physical things. Two physical circumstances. It says, if anyone's suffering, let him pray. That's a physical thing, suffering. And he says, if anyone's happy or cheerful, let him sing songs. Cheerful.